chapter 1, please. Tonight, we will begin to look at another disciple or apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1, let me turn there, we are introduced to him in verse 49, but we'll come back and pick up some other verses earlier in the chapter a little bit later on. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. This particular disciple or apostle is obviously Nathanael. Now, when you read in the New Testament Gospels, the four Gospels, in the book of Acts, I also believe, he's not called Nathanael. He's called who? Bartholomew. So, Nathanael, boy, that was a trick question. Bartholomew and Nathanael are the same guy. Okay, so maybe next week if I ask that, maybe you'll know that. But anyhow, here he's called Nathanael, but in all the other lists, he appears as Bartholomew. In fact, John's gospel, he's always called Nathanael. But in the other gospels, they only mention him one time, and that's when the list of the 12 disciples is given, that he's called there Bartholomew, but then John refers to him as Nathanael. But anyway, it's the same guy. In John's Gospel, there are two places that he is mentioned. Here in John chapter 1, and a little bit later on in John chapter 21. This is where he is called. And in John chapter 21, he is named as one of those who returned to Galilee and went fishing with Peter after Jesus' resurrection, or Jesus' resurrection, and before the ascension. So let's mark this if you have to, but we're not going to leave the book of John right yet. So turn to John chapter 21 in verse 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. They're not named there. Now, he came from Cana in Galilee. That is the place where Jesus did his first miracle. And the first miracle that Jesus did is what? It's where he turned the water into wine. Philip introduced Nathanael to Jesus right after Philip met Christ himself. Philip and Nathanael seem to be very close friends. They're always mentioned together. You have James and John, brothers, always together. You have Peter and Andrew always together. They're brothers, and they always seem to be together as well. And you always seem to see Philip and Nathanael, or Philip and Bartholomew, you always see them together as well. So they seem to be very close friends. Philip, after receiving Christ as his Savior, introduces Nathanael to Jesus, which we read there in verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. But it was Philip who brought him there, which we'll see here in just a moment. Now let's go back to verse 29 of John chapter 1. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So John the Baptist says that, Behold the Lamb of God. These guys were all there. They weren't necessarily right there at that moment, but they were right there in that vicinity. So then we go down and look at verse 35. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And so, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Then, verse 43, the next day. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now you go down to verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. So Philip introduces him to Jesus. Now verse 45 gives us, quite a bit of insight into Nathanael's life. They were friends, I don't know how, if they were business acquaintances, if they just grew up near each other, which they probably did in all honesty, but they were friends somehow, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, from the account of Nathanael coming to Christ, we find some insight into his character. Again, let me read verse 45. Here's the first one. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. When Philip goes and tells Nathanael, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, evidently they knew the Old Testament law. He knew what he was saying when he was talking about Moses, and evidently they knew what the prophets had prophesied about a Messiah coming. So the first thing I think that we can safely say about Nathanael is this. He seemed to have a love for the Scriptures. Truth seemed to matter to Nathanael. When Philip told Nathanael, he did so from the standpoint of Old Testament prophecy, because Philip introduced him that way suggests that Nathanael knew the Old Testament prophets and the Old Testament prophecies. Now, I would suggest something. When you go talk to people, you should try to persuade them, not with your cleverness, not with what Christianity might offer to them, but you should try to persuade them directly from the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And only the blank makes free. Truth. Only the truth makes free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And anybody hear Adrian Rogers preach this morning on the radio? Man, he had a good sermon this morning on Jesus wasn't one of the ways. Jesus was the way. I mean, he's a good preacher. If you guys, it's 8 o'clock. It's somewhere in that 8 o'clock range, 7:30. When he's on, man, he can preach. But anyway, Jesus was the way. And this was it. And this was the Messiah. That's who he was. Now, evidently, they probably have discussed this together. And they came to hear the Baptist John preach. And Philip seemed to know the news would excite Nathanael. So when he heard about it and it received Christ, he ran right to Nathanael and said, We have found the Messiah, the one that Moses spoke about and the one that the prophets have wrote about. He did not say, Nathanael, I found a man who has a wonderful plan for your life. There's no way to witness to people. To be honest, if a person gets saved, I believe that the Bible teaches that Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But when you tell somebody God has a wonderful plan for your life, you're giving them the idea that from now on, your life will just be a box of chocolates. Has anybody found that true since you've been a Christian? I haven't. And to be honest, it's been somewhat the opposite. And a lot of times, it's the way it is. So, he didn't come up and say, I found the one who has a wonderful plan for your life. Nor did he say, I found a man who will fix your marriage and your personal problems and give your life real meaning. He didn't witness that way either. Because you don't know that God, now can God do all those things? He can. But you don't introduce people to Christ like that. He spoke of Jesus as the one who fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. We speak of Jesus as the one who can deliver you and save you from your sin. Now it appears that the disciples, except one of them, Judas Iscariot, were those who were seeking the truth. God was already working on them, or we would say God was already dealing with them. They were sincere in their love for God and their desire to know the truth and their desire to receive the Messiah. Now that was very different from the normal religious establishments of the day, which were full of hypocrisy and false piety and all that stuff. Nathanael knew about the scriptures, and they knew what the scriptures said about the Messiah, and instantly and was able to see Jesus. I mean, it's like as soon as he was introduced to Jesus, he could say, "This is the Messiah. Here he is." He received Christ right on the spot. So he had that. That's a wonderful trait. But did you notice what we read in verse 46? This gives us perhaps a little bit more insight into the kind of a person that he was. Nathanael said unto him, that is, he was speaking to Philip, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" It's possible. In fact, the way the text is here, what's his name? Nathanael may have had a little bit of prejudice in him. He seemed to indicate that. He was a student of Scripture. He was a seeker of the truth, of knowledge of God. Although he had a strong spiritual interest, he'd been faithful and diligent and honest in his devotion to the Word of God. He's still human. He's still just like everybody else. And he seemed a little bit prejudiced. And he says in verse 46, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" In fact, he probably heard when Philip told him, and he probably said something like this, "Can there any good thing really come out of Nazareth?" That's probably what he had going on. In fact, that's exactly how our guide, when we were in Israel, said that's exactly how Philip would have made that statement. Nazareth was not a place that you would be ready to run to and move in. By the way, if you visit Israel, some of you, hopefully you will before you pass away, or the Lord comes to get us, which if the Lord comes to get us, you'll get there soon enough, so don't worry about it. But it won't be the same. But anyway, there's really not much there to see, in all honesty. And the reason that we went there is because they would say, this is the city where they wanted to push Jesus off. It was a city town. They wanted to push Jesus off the cliff. It was Nazareth. And so we went up to see, and the guide said, that's probably a cliff similar that you read about where they wanted to push Jesus, the people of Nazareth wanted to push Jesus over the cliff. So he could have said, well, from the book of Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says that Messiah comes out of Bethlehem, not Nazareth. He didn't say that. His response seems to be that of a little bit prejudice. It's based on sheer emotion. He was no fan of the town of Nazareth. Now, his town, Cana, that's not exactly any place spectacular either. So maybe there was a little feud going on between those of Cana and theirs of Nazareth. Nonetheless, I can say this. God can call a preacher from wherever he wants to, and God can use people from wherever he chooses to. And if they come from this is the way they say it, if they come from the other side of the tracks, God can use them too. It doesn't matter where they come from. Now, let me back up here a little bit because I want to save a few minutes of time because I want to get over to Proverbs chapter 14. When you witness to people, so Philip goes and tells Nathanael. And Nathanael has a working knowledge of Moses, and he has a working knowledge of the prophets. So he's got a working knowledge of the Bible. He's got a working knowledge of the truth that God had given by that time. When you witness today, that's right, Amy, not so much. They probably don't have any working knowledge of the Bible, and it's getting worse and worse. They don't know. I have led 5 or 6 people to Christ who the first time they ever heard that Jesus was God, I told them, and a few of them, the first time I told them that Jesus was God, they thought I was nuts. 2 adult men actually went so far to say, I have never heard of anything like that before in my life. Now, that's in America. That's right here in Rome. They've never heard that Jesus is God. So you say, well, Philip goes to Nathanael, and Nathanael got saved right away. Not everybody's in Nathanael. And you may have to plow some ground, and you might have to water some soil and sow that seed and water that seed and get that seed ready for God to bring the increase. But not everybody goes home and studies the scriptures. It's hard enough to get Christians to read their Bible, let alone lost people to read a Bible, right? So don't expect that when you go out and witness to people, whether it's at school or at work or, you know, just in your neighborhood or you go door knocking or whatever, that they have some kind of a working knowledge of the Bible and they just can't wait to hear about the Messiah and Jesus is the Messiah and they're going to embrace him like right there on the spot. That would be wonderful, but that doesn't happen so much anymore. So I realize it happened here. But 11 of these 12 apostles, the Lord has already been working on. They'd already been exposed to a lot of truth, and they knew a lot of Scripture already. Both of these two did. And we don't have as much of that luxury today as we used to have. And this is Rome, New York. This is not the headquarters for the Southern Baptist Convention, okay? This is upstate Rome, New York, you know. And we're not, we're not in the Bible Belt. Now, but let me say something. So that was application one. Application two is God can call anybody from any place he wants to. He can also take flawed people like Nathaniel and like the other apostles that we've looked at. Turn to Proverbs 14. And change that person and use that person. Now, I don't do this every month, but some months I read a proverb a day. This month I'm doing it. I can tell you right now I never do it in February. You know why? There's not enough days in that month. It just bugs me. So I take February off from reading Proverbs. That's a pretty weak reason. Well, it's the best I got, okay? But anyway, I want you to notice something here in Proverbs chapter 14. When I was reading this the other day, was it Proverbs 14 or was it? Yeah, I think it was Proverbs 14. I didn't have a pen with me, and this isn't the Bible I was reading. But I want you to watch this. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Now, as we've looked at these different apostles and disciples, we see they all are a little bit different. And as I was reading this chapter, I begin to notice the different types of people that there are. Now, you read, follow along here and you watch this. Every wise woman. Well, what kind of a person is in that verse? A wise woman. He that walketh in the uprightness, verse 2, feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despises himself. What do we have here? We have a person who walks uprightly. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. What kind of a person is it in that verse? A foolish person. But the lips of the wise, there's the wise person again, shall preserve them. Where no ox are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of an ox. A clean crib don't do you any good, does it? A faithful witness will not lie. What kind of a person is that? Honest. A faithful person doesn't lie. But a false witness will utter lies. That person's a liar. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. There's a scorner. He's not interested in learning anything. But now, when he does learn, he won't listen. But knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, there's the foolish man, when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. But the folly of fools is deceit. By the way, there are four different kinds of fools in the book of Proverbs. When you study it, you'll see that. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown. There's a wicked person. But the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There's the upright again. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of the mirth is heaviness. The backslider, there's a person who's backslidden, in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. And there's a good man. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Here's a guy who is got a short, he's a hot-headed, short-tempered. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. So we got evil people, righteous people. Here's poor people. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. but they're not really your friend. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. There's a merciful person. Do they not err that devise evil? But mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury or poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath, compared to the guy earlier in the chapter, verse 17, who is soon angry, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. And we might as well read these. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. And there's a wise servant and one that causes shame. Anyway, you notice all those different kinds of people in that chapter? What kind of person are you? Are you wise? Are you foolish? Do you want to learn? Do you want to grow? Are you wicked? Are you godly? Are you short-tempered? Or are you slow to anger? Are you a wise woman? Are you a wise man? Are you a foolish woman? Are you a foolish man? God can take everybody from either side of the track, and God can take anybody from any area of life, and he can conform them and use them for his honor and glory. But even once a person is saved, all your problems just don't go away. You've got to learn to live by biblical principles, because these apostles are coming from all different kinds of life. But you can still have the tendencies of your own old Adamic nature, and they can come out. And I don't know, as I was reading that the other day, the Lord was like speaking to me about, look at all these different kinds of people that there are. And we ought to examine our heart with that. As we look at all these apostles and look at all these, you know, by the time we get through, we'll look at all 12 of them and how God used them and changed them except one. But he did use him ultimately for his glory. But we need to consider what kind of person we are. I'm going to preach a sermon on that chapter one of these days. Father, Nathanael was a seeker of truth. You'd already taught him much of the Old Testament prophecies. He knew much of, evidently, of Moses. When he saw the Messiah, from what he knew, he said, "Yup, this is the Messiah." But then he said, "Well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Almost mocking that town. May we be careful of our own prejudices. May we realize that you died for the souls of everybody. It don't matter what side of the track they come from. And we can have those same tendencies that we've seen in these apostles. Give us a heart and love for souls, regardless of where they come from, and help us to witness faithfully to people. Not tell them God has a miracle, God has this, God has that for you. We're not prophets or prophetesses. We really don't know what you have for people. We have no idea. We do know that when we live by biblical principles, things in life have a way to work out. We know that. Beyond that, we don't know what their life might entail. Help us to be faithful in our witness, diligent in living for you, and wise, short-fused, just people who really act the way we ought to act. In Jesus' name, amen.